Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
Yahweh. 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 Yah. Lord, we come into your presence. We sit before you, Lord. Kneel or lay. And Lord, we join our hearts to your heart. Let your heart become ours. Let your motives become ours. Let your presence come in and show us the motives of our heart, that we can deal with them. Because we want to become a people that really do live for you. Show us who we are. The Lord saying, let me open up to you a whole new world. Some of you have barely seen my world, and yet you know in your head that the word says your citizenship is in heaven and that that's your home. You know that it says set your affections upon the things above. Yet you've seen so little of my world. True worship, where your heart is joined to mine, he says, brings you into a place where you can breathe the breath of heaven, so to speak, and see more and hear more and understand more, comprehend more. Because it can only be comprehended by the spirit man, not by the intellect. So come with me, he says, I want to show you.
Want to show you heaven. Show you the gates. What I feel to you, the things that I did. Mm-hmm. show you my world.
My world.
This is how things really are.
Some of you have had such a distorted view because you've looked through all the earth stuff, church stuff and religion stuff. And you've wondered, why doesn't it work better than this? It should work better than this. But I want to strip away what earth has done to you. I want to open your eyes to see what my world is really like. And I did a thing that some of you don't quite fully have the revelation of yet. I did a thing on the cross and at the resurrection. I released a thing to put something in you by the Spirit of God, inside you, if you're born again. If you sought the baptism, the infilling of the Holy Spirit, I put in you the kingdom of heaven itself. So in you there dwells a great power that you may not realize how great it is, but in you I have put this power of God for you to use, but it's by true motive that it works the best. People who tend to try to use it for their own gain or their own goosebump, their own deal, don't often have as full a revelation. But as you purify your motives to make it about the glory of God, then something happens that opens a way for me to fill. You know, in a way, you were called to be that pillar of fire, that pillar of cloud. Not you, but the Holy Ghost in you. Know how to follow me. If they cannot see the Lord in you. So purify the motives of the heart. Take a look sometimes at why you do what you do, why you pray what you pray. Because I want to do a thing that exceeds anything you've ever seen. I'm releasing someone from the way it's always been. It's always been that way, and you've grown to expect it and live in it, and almost like I see a slumping of the shoulders, like, well, he says, I'm releasing you from the way it's always been. Sometimes when I promise you a breakthrough, you think, yeah, but it's always been this way, so it's just always going to be this way. I'm releasing you now, right now, right now, right now. This isn't a promise for tomorrow. This is right now. And I command that lying devil to come out that has lied for years. This isn't everybody, okay? I command that lying devil of darkness and hopelessness and discouragement to come out once and for all. I see great change. The Lord says for there to be change, first there has to be hope. And for there to be hope, that lie has to be broken, that it'll always be this way. You understand? That lie has to be broken in your soul. You have to refuse to believe it's always going to be the same. Because that's a lie. Lord says, I am the great healer. Right now, I'm healing souls. I'm healing someone from discouragement right now. Break hopelessness and command you to leave forever. I'm seeing a picture of a person you've had a dream, and it's been long before you, this dream that you've had to do something for God. But in front of this dream, I saw hopelessness and discouragement. You know that dream is good. Hopeless and discouragement and a spirit of defeat. They try to come from the enemy to darken or to cloud or obscure the vision of the dream, don't they? Be gone in the name of Jesus, every form of hopelessness and discouragement. You have no part with us. God says, when I give a promise, hopelessness and defeat have no part with it. And sometimes your soul has to make a decision. I will not believe that lie anymore. I will not accept that. It's a demon spirit, I'm telling you. It's not just emotions. Sometimes our emotions allow demonic influence, a hook. And the whole thing is to get you in alignment with the devil so you won't do the dream, because it's God's dream. You get it? The devil wants you in alignment with him so you won't do the work of God. And you get to choose who you will align with today. You get to choose. You get to say no more, lion and devil. No more. Person, I think there's multiple people, you have a dream or a promise from God, and Satan has tried to hinder or distract or get in the way or obstruct or discourage. Say, I have a dream from God, and it will be accomplished, and I will not quit, and I will not believe the lying devil. I will not believe hopelessness, but I will accomplish what I was put on this earth to do. I will accomplish the dreams of God. I will do what He has put me on this earth to do, and I will not believe the devil. In Jesus' name. some of you have naysayers in your life. There are people who, you know, they probably even mean well, but sometimes the enemy will use a person. Because it's even more convincing if he can use a human's mouth, right? And so we're to love the person, but refuse the advice. And you don't even need to say it to them. You don't need to argue with them. But you can counter it. When the enemy tries to speak a lie to you, you can quietly, even silently on your breath, say, "Oh, that's not true. I don't receive it. No weapon formed against me will prosper. I will accomplish what God has put me." Just counter it. Make sure your soul doesn't receive the bad news. Have you do another proclamation. I'm going to have you say, "I break off any words that have been spoken over me that don't line up with the Word of God or the will of God. I release myself from false prophecy in Jesus' name." I really believe that our biggest problem is what we believe about ourselves, what we allow, the garbage that we allow to filter through our soul. You know, it says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he, or so manifests he, so does he become. If we don't get that changed, then we will live all of our life and go to our grave defeated. And we don't have to. And one fine day, somewhere along your life, you need to say, "I'm not doing that anymore. I'm going to believe what God's Word has said about me. And I'm going to stop believing the trash that the enemy is trying to get me to believe." Say, "I'm a new person, created in the image of Christ Jesus." Amen. You know, there's an idea. You know, and I think the scripture really bears this out, that we have to, at some point, we have to disassociate with not just the things of this world, but the mindset and the, I'm calling it prophecy tongue in cheek. It's like the world prophesies this junk, you know, gloom and doom, bad things, despair. You know, you'll never, you know, the world, because they don't know any better, right? Because it's the spirit of the world, isn't it? It's the spirit of this age, right? Which is of the enemy. And so it's always, there's a barrage. And what you let into your gates, you know, what you let into your ears and your eyes, you know, the input. If you don't monitor closely, you will end up thinking just like the world thinks. And you'll end up thinking about yourself in ways that are not godly. You know, self, to put yourself down continually, that is an ungodly trait. God is not pleased with that. You know, that The devil tries to make that like this religious thing of, well, putting yourself down or thinking less of yourself or beating yourself up. That is ungodly behavior. It is. It's now, conversely, to know who you are on the inside is not pride. Pride is when you think that you, anything good came from you. Nothing good came from you. You don't have anything good. So I'm not talking about being prideful, but I'm talking about getting a reality check of what God has done. If you are born again, you need to disassociate from your old identity and from an earthly identity and from how your the abilities of your flesh. Even if you are very able in your flesh. You know, one of the biggest enemies you can have is to be really great at something in the natural. Do you know that? Let's say that a person is really smart and they know they're really smart. You know, let's not lie. Smart people know they're smart. Come on. Pretty people know they're pretty. Fat people know they're fat. Come on. We're not dumb. We know, we get it, right? So what I've seen, though, is that two things can be the enemy of your soul. One is to know good and well that you're good at something or whatever in the flesh. And that can work against you because you won't, it'll be good for you to yield, to die to that thing and yield it to God. It doesn't mean God won't use you in it, but he'll make it better than it ever could have been. Because a work of the flesh is still a work of the flesh. You get it? If you were really successful at something, and you don't get that that gift came from God at birth. There's some gifts that came at birth. You were just born with a certain gift. And you continue to rest your identity in that, you will never find your true identity in God. Come on. In the same way, if your identity is that you never could do anything right, because they labeled you with that and you accepted that. See, how you associate with an identity is how you will manifest. That's what you'll manifest, period. So you can see why it's really important to filter everything that comes in. It's really important to decide what you will and will not accept. Your mind is a gateway to the realm of the spirit. It's a gateway. Stuff has to come. Listen, you don't get input, right? Your input comes through your eyes and your ears in this earth, right? Or in the spirit realm through the eyes of your spirit man or the ears of your spirit man. Okay? You do have two sets of ears. I don't know if you get that, but you do. Yeah. Your born-again spirit can hear from God. It can hear and see the things of the spirit. It can hear suggestions from the enemy who is a spirit. It can hear hopeful things from the Holy Spirit. It can hear stuff from angels. Okay, right? That's one kind of input. You can see in the spirit. You may catch visions, internal or external, open or closed, right? But in your flesh, you also have these gateways that are constantly open. Even when you're sleeping, you can hear stuff. And so to go around just accepting all kinds of trash, you will have trash as output and wonder why. You'll always wonder, why am I having so many problems? Because everything that goes in has to be filtered through the gateway of God's word. We have to get good enough at saying, wait a minute, no, 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 no. See, if I were to look in the natural, I would never, ever, 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 ever have been able to minister even once. Because I didn't have any ability. I knew that if you put me in front of people, I would throw up. At one time. Seriously, I knew that. I'm not blind. When they tried to make me do speech, I would just be out there throwing up. Because I couldn't do it. I couldn't sing in front of anybody. Terrified. I'm not talking about fear, I'm talking about terror. As a little kid, they made me take piano lessons, and once a year you had to do a recital. I would rather gone out and hung myself than do that recital. I was so terrified. You know, all these people staring at you, all dressed up. It's horrendous. So I knew that I didn't have any ability in my flesh to do any of that stuff. Right? God will never ask you to do something that you have the ability to do. He doesn't need your help. Why do you think he picked Gideon? Gideon had zero ability to do anything, and he knew it. He actually wanted somebody that knew, I can't do that. Good, then you get it. It's me. Come on. If you still think it's you, you'll never really manifest real power. You'll do maybe good for a person. Let's say you're really, really smart, and you sing really, really well, and you're a great orator. You will never manifest the power of God, because all you'll ever do is what a really great man can do. You hear me? P.U., we've had enough of that. We have enough people who are gifted and skilled and have Nobel Peace Prizes and create great films. We've got enough of them, thanks. But that doesn't manifest the power of God. That's why it says we have to deny ourselves or die to self. Die to the goods, the bads, and the uglies. Die to all of it. It's all trash. It's all passing away, all that stuff. All the stuff of the natural compared to God is zero. See, what if the angel, instead of going to Gideon, had gone to a great man of valor who won all his battles? He would have said, yes, sir, we'll go. I'll gather my men. Right? Why did God pick a guy that said, oh, no, you got the wrong guy. I'm telling you right now, I am not him. I am the least of the least of the least of the least. Go find. How many, have you ever said that, God? I have. Please, God, go pick somebody else. I can't do this. He's like, right, that's why I picked you. That's exactly why I picked you. Because you get it. You know you can't. It's hard for God to use somebody that knows they're clever or smart or gifted or whatever if their faith still rests in that ability. He could use you, but you might think it was you. I'll say it again, P.U. And even at your best, let's say that we pick the best of the best of the best in the earth realm, compared to God, that's zero. What we want, or at least what I want, and I think what you want, is for God himself to manifest his presence and his glory through whatever. And here's what I found. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It doesn't matter if it's singing or speaking or, you know, I'm not great at art, but if he told me to do that, I know this. I can't do it, but he can. You understand? I know that. I got that now. I can't do it. He can. I have to flip the switch from trying to identify with my old self. And I have to learn how to follow him. Okay, what are we doing now? How about now? What are we doing now? How does that work? What am I doing? What am I presenting? If he told me to go to battle, okay, I can't do it, but you can. You're going to teach me how. If you've told me to do something, I know 100% that you are going to teach me how, because I know I don't know how. And life is so much easier. Because if you really get this revelation that you in my flesh dwells no good thing, I don't care how smart it is. If you really get a revelation, not just head knowledge, deep down in you, that you got nothing to offer, then you're free to accept the wholeness and the fullness of anything he wants to do without ever touching the glory. You get it? Now God has somebody he can use, because you won't go around going, look what I did. Hallelujah. I prophesied and it was true. Do you ever have somebody point out to you that? And you just want to kind of, pardon me, can I say, you just want to barf. It's like, yeah, we get it. You were accurate. Good job. After about 50 of those, you're like, okay, we got it. We got it already. Right? And what's happened? They're needy. Just talking about humanity here, talking about the body of Christ. People are needy and need recognition for something they think they did. But they didn't do it. Come on. And so what we have to do is come to a place where everything, all my hope is in him. And all my joy is in him. And all the glory goes to him. That's why when we see somebody healed, we like to make them say, who did it? Jesus did it. That's right. Who did it? Jesus did it. That's right. And not because of anything we did, right? He just did it because he's good. He did it because he's righteous. He did it because he's holy. He did it because he's all-powerful. And if you can really get that heart, he can go to using you in a very great way, because he'll watch you. You can say you have that heart, but do you have it? Because whenever we say something to God, it has to be tested or proved. Okay? He won't just take you at your word, by the way. Oh, I'll die for you, really? Will you? I'll give that up.
I don't want to.
But that's my idol, that's my thing, oh, that's my whole heart, oh, God. Well, see, if you promise God something, and you say, this is my heart, God loves you, and he's excited about that, believe me. This is a good thing, that's a good heart, right? But he will allow that to be tested. He will allow your heart to be tested. And if you've never cried out to God to be used in a great way, you know, he still loves you. And if you're born again, you're getting in, hallelujah. But you won't be tested like somebody who says, oh God, I would pay any price to be used. It's when you begin to say things like that, oh Lord, I would do anything. Lord, I would do anything to be used by God, to bring, win souls or whatever. When you say that, heaven is like, would you look at that? What a great heart. But now a process begins to go into place, where more will be required of you than the other guy. You will also, in the end, if you stay true and you don't quit and you don't give up when the fire comes, you will be used to do more than that guy ever dreamed of doing. And that guy will wonder, why did that happen to you? Because you agreed to submit to a process and then you held true even when the fire came. Our heart has to be tested. You know, the more you want to carry, the more your heart needs to be purified, in my opinion. This is holiology. You can take it or leave it. But the more you've asked to carry, to me, the more purified your vessel needs to be. And only God can do that purification. That's not a work of the flesh. It's not something you can say, okay, I'll be good. I'll do this. I won't do that. I'll do this. I want you to try that for about 3 days. That doesn't work too well. But you go to God and you say, I got to get this out of me. I see an attitude. It's a stinker. Get that thing out of me, even if it hurts. Get it out. And when you begin to go to God, now God, he's so good and so he loves you so much. He loves me so much. He won't allow you to be tested beyond that which you are able. He won't put you in a fire. It may feel like it sometimes, but he won't put you in a fire that's too much for you. And if your heart stays true, even in the fire, it'll be a quick fire and over quickly. But the fire is really only to test. What's your heart made of? What is it made of? See, some of you, not everybody, some of you never asked God to do anything for him. God bless you, that's okay. Not asking you to. That's okay. It's perfectly okay. But some of you have asked God to do big things. Right? And to do big things, we have to be willing to change in a big way because he wants a vessel that won't crack under the pressure. See, the glory has a lot of weight with it, doesn't it? The glory, the true glory. The glory is the manifested presence of God, okay? I was preaching someplace in the city. And I started to talk about the fire, and it felt like it was 800 degrees in that room. I was sweating. I actually opened my eyes and looked at the thermostat, and it said 65, and I'm thinking, whew! And I was talking about the fire of God, and at the end of the thing, people were coming up saying their hands were burning, that their hands were dripping sweat. Not oil, sweat from the fire of it. There is a place in the glory where we are allowed to be sort of a releaser. We are carriers of God. But most people are so sealed up by their flesh. Their flesh has grown so strong that it acts like a vault. You have a treasure in the earthen vessel, right? Everybody that's born again and spirit-filled has the power of God in them. The same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, dead raising power. The presence, the glory, it's in you. It's already in you. And so when we ask God for something, it says it's according to the power that works in you. We might say in proportion to the power that works in you. How much have you destroyed the flesh to let the Spirit roam free? How much have you gone after your stink? And I can say that because I've had a lot of stink, okay? But there should be, and again, my opinion, we want more, don't we? We're a people who want more. And I'm going to tell you in this day, God wants to release more. We're in a day. I really believe this is the great windup. And there will be a season. There's a season. And God keeps giving me the scripture. Night comes that no man can work. But we must work while it is day. There's this season. And God gave me a dream not that long ago where the window is closing. I saw this thing in my dream of closing. And I know that there's this window of time, and during it, there will be a great outpouring. But some people, do you know, won't even feel it? We've seen that people can come into a massive presence where some people are being healed, some people are being set free, like life changes, and one person can't receive, doesn't feel anything. Can I suggest to you the problem isn't the presence? I remember being in a meeting one time, great man of God. Wow, this guy moved in the glory. Really a lot of presence. But there was like 2,000 people there. And he said, there's too many people. Obviously, I can't lay hands on everybody. So he said, I've got these pastors here to help me. I'm going to lay hands on them, and they're all going to lay hands on all of you. Well, the guy that I ended up getting prayed for by was a suit guy. You know, I call him a suit guy. Really suited up in wingtip shoes, and he looked very full. His hair was combed very neatly, and I thought, my flesh, I'm going to be honest, I thought, I can't receive from this guy. He doesn't have anything to give me. And he laid hands on me, and he said, receive. And I didn't. I'm thinking the problem is him. Then he laid hands on me, said, receive. I still didn't receive. Finally looked at me, said, receive. And I went, oh, I have an attitude. I'm not receiving. I opened up and went flying. Received a huge thing from God. You see the issue? Our flesh, there's a million things that can stop us from really receiving fully all that God has, or from going into heaven, or from manifesting the glory. So there has to be a process where we are going after proactively, opening the flesh gates. Get the junk out. Get the attitudes out. Get rid of self-defeat. Get rid of sin. Get rid of sin and the weight that so easily besets. And you have to go after that. You have to have God help you with that. We can't even do that right, can we? If you have an addiction, you don't even have the ability to do it. But here's what you do have the ability to do. You keep going every day. Here I am again, God. I'm believing you to burn that thing out of me. Help me to know how to get free. Show me if there's a hook, if there's something I need to change. You keep going after him. You go, and you don't quit. You don't give him rest. You don't give him rest until you are set free, and then you go after the next thing. And you keep doing it. Get delivered, get emotionally healed. Get to where you're walking in enough truth that everything isn't about you. Oh dear, did I just say that out loud? We have to come to a place where it really is about him and his presence. We have to come to a place where we really are carrying the presence so that he can have the glory and people get saved. And guess what? We might die for it in the end. Did you know that? Every one of the apostles, so far as we know, every one of them was brutally killed. Oh, I don't want to hear that. That's not the faith message. Well, here's a scripture for you. Those who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Oh, no! But let me say this. Is it worth it? I'm not saying everybody in here, you're all going to die. I'm not saying that. But I am saying some of us want everything God has. And we want it in this life. We don't want to wait till heaven, do we? We want to manifest all that he has for us now. And that takes a radical type of person. See, a lot of us want to carry healing. Healing operates through the presence. The presence operates through believers. But it operates through believers that have removed the fleshy vault. We have to get some of that stuff out of the way to allow the flow. Some of you that don't hear from God, the blockage isn't God. It isn't that he isn't speaking. He's always speaking to your spirit man. You just aren't connected to your spirit man because there's too much soul, mind, will, emotions. What about this? I feel that. I think this. Oh, it's a bad day. This happened. There is a way to learn how to say, yeah, I get that. I'm not denying that happened. We have stuff. I have stuff happen to me all the time that I would rather not happen. But it can't own me. Now, that was not always the case, but now it is the case. It cannot own me because I can say, yeah, I see that. That happened. I get it. I'm not going to pretend it didn't. I see what's going on right there. That's not what I want. But that's not going to own my mind, will, or emotions. I'm going to put that on the back burner. I'm going to turn to God and say, what are we doing about this, Father? How do we, you and me, we, everything in me is we, right? It's us living this life through this mortal body. What if, let me just ask you this, this is a really wild one. This is not possible, but what if it were possible that you could say, Jesus, I know that you need a body in the earth, right? You need a mouth to speak through. You've chosen to use humans. If it were possible that I could completely cease to exist in this world and the world to come, but you could somehow use this physical body to go and glorify yourself, to heal people as once you did, to raise the dead as once you did, to touch people's lives as once you did, to show the manifest presence and love of God as once you did. Can I ask you this? Would you do it? That's a tough question, isn't it? But when you love Jesus enough to say, I don't want to live for me anymore, your flesh will fight you, okay? And it'll take some fires to burn the junk out. That's just how life works. But if you are able to truly say, I want you to live and not me, I want you to be glorified and not me, and then when you say that, you may even mean it, but there will be a process where it becomes who you are. Okay? A good motive starts as a little seed. You know, because we are, I'm going to tell you, even though our spirit man is born again and children of God, our flesh is still children of Adam. And our flesh is selfish, right? There's someone here, you don't come because you want to glorify Jesus. You come because you want a goosebump. There's one person here, you don't come because you love Jesus so much. You come because it's like a little drug. You get to have your little sip of glory, your little sip of the presence. You know? Your heart has not been converted. You need to be converted to really love God more than yourself. This is a tough message, isn't it? But some of us do love God enough. Edgar said something to me once. You know, Edgar was older when I even met him. And he'd already lived his life. He was a widower. He'd had 5 children. His wife had died. He'd had a huge ministry. He'd been on television many times, seen many, many miracles. He'd done a lot already. And he said something, and I don't remember the exact wording, so this is a paraphrase, but he said, I've already had all of that. I want to spend the rest of my life glorifying Jesus and loving people and loving you. And see, Edgar, because of it, he lived differently than other people, and he loved differently than other people. Edgar truly loved me more than he loved himself. Were there days when that wasn't true? Sure, of course. But I didn't love like that. I didn't even know about that kind of love. But he got to a place where he said, I've had my kids. My kids are grown. I had a good marriage. I had a big ministry. He said, I'm still going to minister, but I just want to love God and love you and love people. And because of it, something shifted. Edgar truly carried the glory. You know, he really did. And what I'm trying to say is there's a real conversion that needs to happen in our heart. We get to be the gateway of which way we will live, out of the emotion and the desires of the flesh. Everybody has dreams. Everybody's dreams are different, but everybody has dreams, right? But when we come before God, if those dreams are still, oh God, if I just had this, I'll be happy. If you would just give me this, then I'll be happy. Or if you just give me that. I know so many people, they just think, if I were married, well, then I would just be so happy. And I think, well, you've been reading too many books. Not the right kind. You know, if you were married, you would have the opportunity to minister to someone or not. You know, it's not an easy life. But they got this dream, and if that becomes an idol, where their whole relationship about God is about getting somebody on two legs, for pity's sake, to marry him, what's that about? Or if their whole dream, you know, my dream, I wanted a ranch. I wanted a farm and horses. Thank you. I grew up on horses. I loved them. That's all I wanted. That's all I wanted. And I was standing in the barn petting this beautiful show horse. A friend of mine had show horse. And I mean, I'm telling you, they were beautiful. And I was out there petting that horse. And the Lord spoke to me. One, I was 26 years old. He said, idol. And it felt like everything in me melted like wax. Because I'd already made a decision. I will never have an idol before God. Nothing will come before God. And I knew that's it. There's never going to, I'm not doing horses. I'm not doing farms. That's, we're not doing that. The agreement was already made. But it took me 6 months to get over the emotional heartbreak of it. Everybody's dream is different. But if your earthly dream is an idol, it opens the door. Idolatry brings a curse. Anything that comes before the Father, anything that comes before our love of Him, you know, and it's not that God is mad, it's that we turn in that area of our heart and life, we turn and open our gates to the enemy. We're yielding to His jurisdiction. And you know what then you get? You get His what He has. What does He have? Every kind of heartbreak, every kind of relational problem, sickness, disease, poverty, you name it, He's got it if it's evil. So we never want to open any door of our flesh, our thoughts, our mind, will, or emotions to the enemy's way. So we can get to a place where we get rid of that stuff and shift everything we have to be in Him. Now here's the great news. People say, well, that sounds boring. Oh, by, I can't tell you how boring it isn't. Because once you're wholly His, really wholly His, and it is a journey, okay? It's a journey to convert your heart. It's a journey to convert your motives. It's a journey to kill some of the things of the flesh, some of the dreams and things you think are important might not be important to God. But God is so great, here's what He'll do. He's so good, here's what He'll do. Sometimes the very thing you died to, once you're really dead to it, you truly don't care anymore. You really don't. It's not, you're not just saying you don't. You really don't. You don't care. You can't feel it. You don't care. You got no, like, if I never look at another horse, I'm fine. I died to that. Dead. Dead as a doornail. Don't care. So what does God do? He turns around and gives me, I always liked big horses. I always liked black horses, and I always liked Tennessee walking horses. So He gives me this double-registered Tennessee walking horse that was a racking horse whose grandfather was the world grand champion racking horse. Gives it to me on Valentine's Day, all wrapped up in red, out of a red trailer with red socks and a red blanket, and comes into the barn. I'm like, see, because I had died to it, then He gave it to me. Because it would never own me again. Got to keep her for a while, and He said, okay, give her back. Well, okay, out she goes. See, with some dreams, though, they might be damaging to you. With some, He won't give them back. But here's the great news. When you are wholly His, all that He has is wholly yours in manifestation. Now, legally, all that He has is wholly yours. Now, He said all things are yours, but most people can never walk in it because they aren't wholly His. I wish I could draw how I see inside. I wish I could had a picture of this. But it's like if you see a cylinder within a cylinder, and the outer cylinder has one opening, and the inner cylinder has an opening, but it's pointing the other way. It's a closed cylinder. But as that inner cylinder turns and the openings line up, now you have an opening. So, I don't know if that made any sense. But if that is closed or partly closed, the more we yield to Him, the more open we are to Him, the more we've put away things, the more open we are, then all things are yours in manifestation. Meaning your faith shoots. You know, a lot of people are trying to get their faith built up. I'm telling you, the easy way is through devotion to God. It's a much easier way. Now, I do believe in quoting the scriptures. I really believe in positive confession. I love faith, but I'm going to tell you something. The more wholly dedicated you are, the easier it is to believe for anything. Because you have nothing left that's your own. And so you can go to God anytime and say, excuse me, you see that thing in heaven over there? I want that. Okay, all things are yours. And you don't have to worry or doubt or fear that He wouldn't do it to you because He is your dad and you know it. You've come into a place where it's no longer me, it's us. You and me, we are one. There is a place of becoming one with your Father where your heart is His and you can't tell who said what. That might be a little out there for some of you, but it is the truth. You can come to a place where you and God are so one that you can feel His heart, want what He wants, shun what He would shun. And so then, of course, it's easy for manifestations of God to happen because your heart is wholly His. Your life is wholly His. You wholly belong to His. You don't have stuff that's over in the devil's jurisdiction. God starts to give you keys to the things in heaven. Some people think, see, the word, it's a legal access that all the things in heaven are ours, but very few people can actually access it. Very few people can even get a full revelation. Because, in again, my opinion, but as our devotion to God increases, the revelation of Him increases. As our time with Him in the Spirit increases, the revelation of all that is increases. God begins to give keys. He put three keys in me, put a key in my hand, a key in my throat, and a key in my belly. Had a woman prophesy to me, confirmed it, and then did it. And then I said, that's great, but what are these keys? He took me, and I asked Him, I sat in my prayer chair, and I said, what are these keys about? And He took me into places in heaven and said, these keys open these doors. And He showed me what they were. You see what I'm saying? God has keys, I believe, for anyone that will wholly live their life for Him. God wants people who are wholly His, especially in this day. Because in this day, He's looking for a people to manifest Himself through, to show Himself strong through them. Will He heal you? Sure, that's all part of the deal. Healing is yours, sure. Will He heal you on the inside? Sure. Will He heal you of doubt and unbelief? Sure. But don't camp like, oh, you know, don't camp on that one thing. Seek Him. Seek Him. Seek Him. As we seek Him, we will find more and more. And here's, you know, there's a diabolical trick that I've seen come against people. They'll get to a certain level of anointing, and because it is greater than other people in the church, they stop because they have it. And they actually start to think, there's not that much more. I've already got this. And God has this vast, infinite treasure of so much more, but they don't go there because they think they've achieved, and they have achieved something. That's why it says, don't compare yourself among yourself. That's not wise. Because if you see you've got something, you'll stop. You'll stop going any further. Let's say you start seeing people healed, and you say, oh, now I have arrived. No, you have not. I know turkeys that heal the sick. I mean, I'm literally saying I know someone that heals the sick so far out there, so incorrect. I'm telling you, that doesn't mean you've arrived anywhere. God told me once, He said, no matter how much I teach you, no matter how much revelation you get, don't stop seeking me. I'm infinite. I'm infinite. I want to give you more. And what you've learned, some of you are at the top of your church in terms of revelation. God says, that's nowhere near. That's like the bottom of my toe, what I want to give you. There's so much more that I want to give you. Don't think that you have arrived anywhere. It's good what you have. That's good. It's good that you can help people. That's good. But that's at the very base of heaven, you know? That's at the very base of what I want to reveal in this day. Imagine how it must feel. Imagine how God must feel to have all this stuff. He wants to see it released on the earth, and he can't find somebody. Did you ever ask God how he feels? Did you ever ask him what breaks his heart? Imagine knowing, let's say you knew a village full of people, but they were the size of ants, and they were suffering and struggling, and you had all the answers, and you were just looking for a way to communicate them all you could do. You could heal them all, you could give them, you could do all this stuff, but they couldn't listen, they couldn't hear you, and they're going along in their struggles. And all you're looking for is one person, one, that would work on it till their heart was wholly his. His eye of the Lord is continually roving through the earth for somebody whose heart is wholly his, that he may show himself strong in them. He longs for it. This isn't a casual thing with God. He's longing for somebody. And you might say, well, my heart is wholly his. Well, you know what? I found out that if you ask God, he might say, well, yeah, kind of. But what about that? Yeah, at the level you knew your heart is wholly mine, but what about that? My heart has been wholly his since I was 26 years old. I got saved at 15, but he became Lord. 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 Not just Savior at 26. And I meant that. I meant that as much as ever I do now, but I'm going to tell you something. The devotion to God, I have radically changed since that day. My level of devotion is much, much stronger. What we think is so great, it's not so great in God's eyes. We pat ourselves, you know, we do a little worship and pat ourselves because nobody else is doing that. I'm telling you, we stink. God is looking for somebody who is willing to allow the surgeon's knife to cut off some stuff, attitudes and junk. I pray that a true spirit of repentance, you know, repentance is a gift from God. And I love when he gives me a spirit of repentance and I can see something with clarity that he didn't see before. You know, I actually love to be corrected by God. I love it when a spirit of repentance comes and I can weep because I see that there's some area that I haven't done it right or haven't seen it right. And I actually ask him to do that for me because I'm not satisfied with the level that I'm walking at. I want more. And I'll tell you, as we've seen some glorious things in the earth. We've seen some men of God who are just amazing. And they've done amazing things. But I will say, I don't think that anyone has yet, in our current past, let's say 200 years, I don't think anyone has yet nearly come close to what God wants to do. I don't think any of us have come even close to the revelation of the kingdom, the manifestation of the kingdom of God that God wants to bring in the earth before Jesus comes. And I think he's hungry and he's thirsty for a church of people. I really think that if it was ever going to happen, it needs to be now. That if ever there was a John the Baptist generation that are willing to say, I must decrease, he must increase. I must step back but allow him to step forward. Bill Johnson, some people like him, some people don't, but he kept praying and pressing. He wanted more of God, more of God, more. He wanted more. And he began to have attacks at night of the Holy Ghost where he lost control of his physical body. And he said it was like being a spaz. He said, I got worried because I thought, what if this happens when I'm on the platform? And night after night, God would come upon him and he would be like, shaking. You ever been under the power so strong that you shook? You know why? Our human body can only handle so much. But we need to become more and more and more acclimated to the presence so we don't fall apart when the glory comes. Because how will you manifest it if you can't stand up in the presence? Anyway, this began to come on him night after night after night after night. He would he would like, you know, travail and sweat. And then one night he said, you know what? If this happens to me on the platform and I look like a fool, if I look like a complete spaz, he said, that's okay as long as God breaks out in revival. And revival broke out. Can you see the heart? I don't care what I look like as long as Jesus Christ gets the glory. Too much we are worried about what people think of us. Who are they anyway? I tell you, if you're worried about what people think about you and they've said to you and meanies, you know, don't worry about the meanies. There's always meanies. Jesus had meanies. They followed him around. Mean. Come on, there's mean people everywhere. It's part of the culture. If you're worried about somebody that's been mean to you or said wrong things or doesn't think well enough of you or doesn't respect you for who you are, I'm going to tell you one fine day we will all stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody will see everything about everybody. I don't worry about it. Because if there's somebody in my family who thinks I'm a lunatic because of what I do, they just don't get it. I know I'm right. Hallelujah. It's like one old preacher said, you don't have to believe me, but I'm right. But I know that on that day, everything will be shown. Our heart for what it really was will be fully shown. Who you really are will be shown. The good, the bad, the great, the awful, right? And so those people, what does it matter what they think? They're made of dirt anyway. They're made of flesh. Who cares what they think? You seek God. Who cares what people think of you? You seek God. You get so much of God until it's spilling out. And who cares what they think? Because what matters is how much of Him we release in the earth. And I'm going to tell you a secret, a key, that I believe is one of the biggest keys to walking in the glory, and that is love your enemy. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those. Bless those who curse you. Bless and do not curse. Pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you. That you may be. Come on. I found the biggest key to winning in warfare was to love my human enemies. You don't have to love devils. You can kill devils. That's okay. That's allowed. You can chop them up in pieces and throw them into the abyss. That's okay. But your human enemies, learn how to separate the flesh from the spirit. Learn how to separate human enemies from the demons that use them. Earnestly pray for their salvation. Pray that God will show Himself to them. Pray for them. And I'll tell you what, the devil will go, I ain't touching you. You'll steal my kids. That's right. I will. Hallelujah. If you get a hold of a heart that you can truly love your enemy, your human enemy, you open, because when are you most like Jesus? What's the greatest fast you could do? Fasting is deny, all fasting is. It's not just about food. Fasting food is good. But when you forgive somebody that doesn't deserve it, you're fasting. What's a fast? To deny yourself. Pick up your cross. To bless those who curse you, that's a fast. Fasting of that kind yields power, always. Because you join yourself to the Spirit of God in a greater way. Every time you do it, every time you forgive and they didn't deserve it. Every time they're driving the stake through your hand, you say, oh, forgive them, Lord. They don't realize what they're doing. They don't really know. Bless them, Lord. Help them to know you. Help them to see the truth. Help them to have truth in the inward parts. Help them to be delivered. And not for my sake, but just for theirs, Lord. When you can do that from a true heart, you have most become like Jesus on the cross. People want resurrection power, but they don't want the cross. It can only be had through the cross. You want resurrection power? You need to die. Only dead things can be raised up. God is looking for a people who will align themselves with the cross. See, it doesn't really matter what happens to me. What matters is what happens to you and to them. That's what matters. And if you have the guts to live that kind of life, is it easy? You know, at first it's kind of hard. It gets easier over the years because it just, you know, you learn how it's done. It's easier. At first it's like, ah, why did all this terrible stuff, what's happening to me? This fire is so hot, I went out. God bless you. But remember, what did you pray for? What did you ask God for? Did you say, oh God, I want to be changed. Oh God, I want to win souls. Oh God, I'll do anything. Did you say that? Did you say, oh Jesus, let me carry the presence? Okay. There's only one way to do it. You have to be fully translated. Your spirit was translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son, but your flesh wasn't translated. You have to do that. You have to transform your mind. You have to work on converting your heart to be pure. You have to work on stop letting your emotions rule you and feed you doubt and unbelief. Take authority over your emotions. You tell your emotion to shut up and sit down. You tell them. Don't let them rule you. You rule them. Boy, this is a kind of a tough message, isn't it? But God is calling us to this higher level. And I'm telling you that if we will do this, I'm telling you more and more, it's not a button you push and, you know, you don't have it and then you do have it. It's not like that. It's an ever-increasing journey, ever-increasing manifestations of God, ever-increasing levels of glory. Why? Because if He gave it to you all at once, you couldn't handle it anyway. People, our flesh knows nothing about heaven. Our flesh doesn't get it. He gives you a little and you kind of, oh, okay, I kind of get how you learn. You learn how to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. You learn how to move at certain realms of the Spirit. And when you move in those, then more doors will open in the realm of the Spirit. As you get, you know, it's like you don't become a scuba. You know, when I was about 5, my mom sent me for these, I just thought it was brutal, these swimming lessons at 8 in the morning outside freezing cold water. And to a kid who was scared of swimming, that was not fun, you know. But I ended up loving swimming so much that I, you know, in my 20s, I became a certified diver because I just loved being under the water. I'd rather be under the water than anywhere. Think about that. Yeah. Well, God wouldn't take you in the realm of the Spirit and suddenly just stick a mask fin snorkel in a heavy tank and say, there you go. No, you couldn't handle it. You'd be like, you know, you wouldn't be able to handle it. But as you acclimate yourself, as you grow, then He'll present more things to you. And you say, oh, I need to deal with that. Oh, okay, I'm going through this door now. Oh, I learn a little bit more about warfare. It's a journey, an ever-growing journey. There's no now you have it, now you don't. It's an ever-growing journey where you are ever allowing more and more and more of the holy place to dwell in you until that's home, okay? It dwells in you until that's your home, and that's what you give, and that's what you yield, and that's what you manifest. And there's nobody that's there yet, right? Nobody's there yet. But we are on our way. But it starts with that desire, that, and don't ever pray it unless you mean it. You know, don't ever say to God, oh Lord, I'll do anything if you'll make me a person that can carry your glory. Don't say that unless you mean you'll do anything, because He will test you. And He will always allow you to say no. No, this is too much. I didn't really mean that much. I didn't know it was going to cost me that much. I didn't know I would have to change that. I didn't know I'd have to give up that. And He'll never make you. God will never make you because He's so good. And He'll always love you, even if you blow it, even if you go so far, it's enough for me, I can't do it. He would still love you. You're still saved. It's not that. We're not talking about that. But if you say to God, I would do anything if you could have your will on the earth. I would do anything if you could glorify yourself in some way through my life. I know I got nothing to give you. I got nothing to offer you. But, oh, Jesus, I would change anything. You know, I don't wear dresses, but if He made me wear a dress, I'd wear one if it meant the glory would manifest. I don't like uncomfortable shoes, but I'd wear them. There's a lot of things I would rather not do, but if He said do that and I'll show up, I'd do it. Right? Because when you say those words to God, it feels to me almost like heaven stops and says, look at that. And then a process or a journey begins. And sometimes when I talk to people who are in the fires, you know, they're in the crucible of change, and they don't understand what it's about, I will sometimes say to them, tell me, did you ever pray this prayer to God? Tell me. Did you ask God to help you crucify your flesh? Did you ask him to change you so that you would... Oh, well, yeah, I did. Okay. Then what has happened is circumstances of fire have come upon you. You're being tested, and God knows that you have it in you to say, I'm not going to look at this, I'm going to look at him. You have it in you already. You see, because what you did was, in a way, you signed an agreement. God will never condemn you in it. You know, I blew it six ways from Sunday. I blew it every way you can blow it when my fires came. I didn't even know how to do it. I didn't know any of this. I learned it in that fire. All this stuff, I learned in that fire. Fires upon fires, I thought it was going to kill me. I despaired of life. It was horrible. 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 But in that place, it finally dawned on me, God wasn't asking everybody else to change. He was asking me to change. And what did I have to change? Everything. Not one and two and three things. I am still in the process of changing everything. And I'll be in that process as long as I live. That's good news. And I want to be. I don't ever want to say, okay, that was good. I went to church one time, and this poor soul who really, God bless her, really needed deliverance said, I've had deliverance. I'm thinking, hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, like, okay, you had deliverance once, what you're done forever? You know, you're screaming at people. You're, you know, God bless you, dear. You know, come on, we need to get real. This is a process. And I feel like the upshot of it is, how much do you want? Because it's all yours legally. He wants people. But it's like you don't have to march off to war, you know. You know, you can stay home and eat bonbons if you want. You know, God still loves you. But some of you are called to greater things, and you've been marked on the inside, and you know it. And if nothing else, I think he explained today why some things have happened in your life the way that they have. And why some things have been hard, why some things have not been easy. Because what he's doing is he's trying to help you become who you are in the Spirit. Some of you know a little of this story, but before I was married to Edgar, I was married to a young man, and I was praying fervently for him to get delivered and change. And the more I prayed, it seemed like the worse things got. And one day God said to me, he said, he didn't ask to be changed. You asked to be changed. And it was like everything came into right perspective. And I said, oh, you're not even trying to change him because he doesn't want changed. You're trying to get me. See, you see how we think? And that helped me so much because I realized God loved me enough to take me at my word. I want to change. You see? It's a different perspective. Hallelujah. God, we thank you for what you've released today. I see why the crowd was smaller. You know, I have a friend that says there's classes and then there's special classes and then there's special classes. And a lot of times we know that when only a few people show up, it's because some things are going to be delivered that other people couldn't handle. So, Father, I ask that every person fully hear, fully contain, fully keep everything that you spoke to them, to each of them by the Spirit. And I bless them, Father, and I pray that they'll become everything that they can be in the realm of the Spirit, in Jesus' name. I'm just waiting to see if there needs to be a proclamation. I literally don't want you to say this if this isn't your heart. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to say a proclamation for those that really do want to be changed in order to carry the presence. Okay? So you're under no obligation to say this. Don't say it if you don't mean it. Okay? But if you would like to say it, I'm going to have you say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I come before you now. I know that in my flesh I have nothing to give you. And yet I know that you have all of heaven to give me. I want to walk in your presence. I want to carry your presence and your glory. And never take any credit for myself. I want that revelation. And Lord, I'm willing to be changed in any way needed in order to do that. I give myself to you. I give myself wholly and completely to you. Let me be one that carries your presence. Let me be one that lives only for the glory of God. Let me be able to say with John the Baptist, I must decrease, Jesus must increase. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, I bless these your children because that's an amazing heart right there. To be able to say that and mean it, that's a wonderful and a perfect heart. And I thank you, Lord. I ask you to protect them all the days of their life. I ask you to carry them through it as your grace carried me. I ask you to bind them so close to you that even if they want to walk, they won't walk. They won't be able to. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Holly Bailey. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.